very, very quiet and shy, and I'm not as shy as I used to be, but I'm still quiet. And it's a joy to be here. And we just want to say that we are grateful for your support, not just financially, but prayerfully. We really need it, and without the prayer, we can't do it. We need that. So we just want to say thank you for always lifting us up and for your support in the work in Peru. We kind of felt like God actually kicked us out of Mexico. Because when we were getting ready to sell our stuff to go to Lima, everything was sold and very fast. So we kind of felt like God just kicked us out of Mexico. And the work there is going very well, and it's growing. I was reading the other day a scripture from John 15:16. And it's a scripture that really spoke to my heart. And I was meditating on it, and I just want to share it with you. And it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." And I kind of feel like that's what God did with us, with me. I have not chosen. Because of the personality that I have, I would rather just be at home and not have to go out and speak to anyone. But he had brought me out of that. And I just want to say very quickly, I'm not a person that speaks very long. But I just see 5 points in this verse. And the first one is empowering. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I can say that God has chosen me. And I know that he can choose you. When God chose a bird to fly, he gave them wings so they could fly. And because God have chosen us, he empower us. He gave us what we need so we can fly just like those birds. And the other one is soul winning. He says that you should go. To go and do what? To win souls for the Lord. See, it's all about God. It's not about us. It's just us being obedient to what he calls us to do. And the third one is to bring fruit. So if you're obedient and if you go, you know he chose you, so on your own, you're nothing. You can't do nothing. You need him. So when you take the word, when you go to win the souls, that is the fruit you're winning for the Lord. But it doesn't just stay there. Not just to bring forth fruit, but that the fruit remain. And for the fruit to remain means discipling. It's not just to win them to the Lord and its end. It's discipling. And many people don't like to do discipling because it's a lot of work. But that's the only way the fruit will remain, by discipling them. And the last one, blessings. See, when we obey God and when we follow what he calls us to do, he showers us with his blessings. He says that whatsoever you should ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And we have seen that in the work that we have done in Mexico City and now in Lima, Peru. we have seen his blessing. And I'm really grateful. I'm grateful to God for all of you. And just let him speak to your heart to do whatever he wants. Don't hold back. And I just want to share the video now, and it's kind of speak for itself, so I don't need to say anything. I kind of have it written out, okay? We just celebrated our 25 years being on the mission field, Valerie and I. Olivia is one of our first souls in Mexico City, and she came down to the anniversary. Joe and Charlotte and the team was there for the graduation of the students. The church here had support us to do the Bible exposition, and it was wonderful. People keep asking us when we would do it again. These are some of the students that have helped with the students that graduated from the School of Ministry. They were the one that studied and did the Bible exposition. Or water baptism. That's the brother that had helped us to be in Peru that have lost one of his leg. It's possible that he may lose his other leg, Joe. We've been doing a study with the children on Phillips and Enoch, and the thing is for them to be able to share the gospel with other children and even with their parents. We have done reading programs for the children because their reading is really bad, and it have really helped them a lot in school. And at the end of their reading program, they receive a certificate to encourage them. We've tried to get school supplies for some of our children because it's really difficult for them, for the parents to give them what they need. And only by us helping them with uniforms, school supplies, their backpack, really encourages the children, and they study harder and they're able to go to school. This is our Christmas. Just here in December, we celebrate for the children Christmas party. That's how the typical Peruvian dress. They don't dress like that now, only in the hills. And that's just our list for the year 2013. There's some stuff that we need to get done, and so we ask for your prayer. And And that's all I have for today.
This is your birthday.
It was the third.
The third. All right. January the 3rd was her birthday. Sing to her anyway, okay? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Chrissy. Happy birthday to you. Amen. And we appreciate Carla meeting her and not leaving her stranded at the airport yesterday, and even inviting her into their home. And so we are blessed to be able to have you, Chrissy, and you'll get to maybe eat with her and hear some more about what the Lord is doing there. I want to just follow up on the scripture that she used there in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Lord, we just want you to fill this temple. Lord, this church, this congregation, Lord, to fill the temple, our own lives with you, Lord Jesus, that you would come in. Above it stood the seraphims, and each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Sounds like our worship this morning, doesn't it? "And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." You know, when you're around smoke, you smell like it. And we're around God's glory, we need to smell like it. We need to favor God. We need to be able to be that witness to the world that is around us. "And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, woe is me, for I am undone." You know, in the presence of God, we can find that conviction. "I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken up with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" It was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost saying, who will go for us? We have done our work. We've sent Jesus to the cross. He's given his blood. He's given his life. And now, who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And that's what Chrissy said. That's what she said. Here am I, send me. There's another part of the scripture where that he begins to wonder about his decision. And he says, how long, Lord? How long, Lord? And the answer was, until there is no longer a person behind one of those doors. This church was created because Kimberly and other people said, I've just got a burden to knock on some doors. There's lost people behind those doors. And that's what our Dream Center is doing today, is that we're knocking on those doors. We're going where the people are. We're taking the church to the world. We're taking hope. Yeah, our theme is light the hope. And the scripture says, be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks you the reason for the hope that's within you. And so we have to light that hope. We have to bring it back. We have to lift it up. It has to be that which, if it's gone sour, if it's gone weak, we have to light it up again and be that hope to reach people. I shared yesterday morning at the men's prayer breakfast. By the way, ladies, we had 24. And so on your next salad supper, at least 25, okay? But I shared there about how that David, in his deepest moment of despair, I sought the Lord and he heard my cry and lifted me up out of a horrible pit. I waited upon the Lord and he lifted me up out of a horrible pit and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings and put a praise in my heart. And so we can rise up out of that. We've got something to share with the world around us. Chrissy, those two scriptures you used were scriptures for Charlotte and I also. That one there, that who will go for us? And here am I, send me. The other one that she used was that he has called us, and that to go and bear fruit. He has chosen us. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You know, when I heard that the first time, I was, you know, I actually escaped Vietnam, because when I got my call to be drafted into the Army, I went down there and they found out I already had two kids and they sent me home. So Jody and Milton saved my life. But I thought about the military. Who will go for me? Who will go? You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Uncle Sam says, I want you. Now, in those days, it wasn't a volunteer Marines anymore. I mean, you got called to the Army, and you might have gone to the Marines or Air Force or Navy because you thought it might be better, but you had to go. I mean, it was a pre-induction physical examination. You get on a bus, you go to Shreveport, you go through the process, and in a few days, well, you're sworn in, and you go. But, you know, I realized that he said, who will go for me? Who will go for me? Here I am, send me. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And it's still that God chooses us. We don't all have to go to the foreign country. But, you know, I wrote in my high school yearbook, I want to be a businessman. And God let me do that for 14 years right here in Tyler. It was the greatest training ground, greatest discipleship, greatest ability for training, going through the difficulties. You know what it did for me? It showed me that there was something out there besides our church. It showed me there were people there. As I met the people that came into the stores, as I met my salesmen and so on, I saw that we're not to just be isolationists inside a building, that we're to get out and do something. And I met people. I saw the real need that was out there. And that was for those years. And then I was sitting at a youth convention, and they said they were going to do something brand new. It was like what Victoria's doing now is something brand new. They found that the kids coming back from missions trip wanting to go to back to the foreign countries, the parents say, no, you're going to college. So they said, we'll do both. We'll send them to the mission field and let them go to college on the field. And that's what Victoria's doing. But this was something new, and they said it's going to be called Operation Sombrero. What a name. And that we're going to go for 3 weeks into a foreign country. And so I just told the guy beside me, I'm going. And Charlotte and I, the next year, 1969, before you were born, we took the call, and we went to San Luis Potosi, Mexico, for 3 weeks. And we ministered. Charlotte played the accordion. I played the guitar. Don't ask us to do it next Sunday. My God is real. Mi Dios es real. Es real en mi ser. Okay, but we did it, and we were there, and God used it. But that last few days before we came back, we were having a prayer meeting, and I went to the side door of the church. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And all of a sudden, the clouds begin to turn and churn and move. I thought, Jesus is coming right now. He just says, come on home. Then he says, I do have a work for you to do. I said, Lord, I want to sell my stores. I want to move to Mexico. I want to help this missionary. You know, what we want, what God wants, is not always the same thing. A kid may want candy, and the parent says, no, you got to eat your vegetables. He said, go back to your city. Tyler? The Lord said, yes. Said, it's filled with troubled young people. I want you to go and help them. And that was my first call. That was our first call, was back here. And so we, like I said, globally, but locally and globally, God has us there. And I had wanted to be a businessman, and I fulfill that. I'm still in business for God, and I'm also a busy man. And so we can recognize today that God has given all of us something to do. The song says, Jesus, use me. Jesus, use me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And that may be the work of prayer, which, like Chrissy said, is so important that we have that prayer ministry. It may be the prayer of support. It may be a ministry of being able to support and to send. And one person said this. I'm not going to dwell on this a long time because it might make you feel guilty. And I don't want you to do things out of guilt. Well, anyway. He said there's three kinds of Christians. There's the goers, there's the senders, and there's the disobedient. Well, I want to explain to you what faith promise is. Faith promise is not a pledge. It's not something that you're going to get a balance due on. It's a promise by faith. It's saying, Lord, if you will help me, I want to participate in missions in the coming 12 months. I want to, besides my tithes and offerings, besides my own personal needs, beside my need for a Dairy Queen ice cream sundae, beside my need for a Starbucks mocha, or whatever that is. I mean, I just get the cheap one. But whatever, beside my need, Lord, for a buffet, I mean, a buffet. I mean, it is scriptural. It says buffet your body. Well, it doesn't really mean that. But besides that, eating out all the time, besides that, now, I'm not saying don't buy your wife an anniversary gift. And I'm not saying, David, don't buy that next ring. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is there something that we cannot do, something we can sacrifice that we're spending our money on to say instead, I'm going to put that on my missions pledge. I remember one brother said that every year he would take a car and he would fix it up and he would sell it. And he would put that on his missions pledge. Well, I can't do that. I'm afraid it wouldn't get fixed up. I've tried and tried, but it's just best if I ask our vehicle people, would you make sure that my car keeps going, you know? And I'm afraid if I tried to change the oil, I would undo it and it would fall in my eye. But I've got people that can. And so I can't do that part. You know, I probably couldn't even build a house and sell it at a profit because Charlotte's better at a hammer than I am. She puts up the pictures at the house and stuff like that. There's other things I can do. But, you know, there's things that that we can do. We can be creative to what God would allow us to do. Robert used to raise dogs, didn't you? And there were times that Leo Miller's kids, they raised dogs and sold them and gave the money up here for us to use in mission. So there's things that people can do to create some income there. But beside all that, even like the scripture that was used this morning, that as you give, God will bless and you will be able to give. And so this morning, we're going to talk about what you could do each week, what you could do each month, what you could do each year. What you do is that you put it down by the week and or by the month, and you multiply it. And how many people were good at math? Well, see, $100 times 12 is how much? Okay. $50 times 12 is how much? You're doing very well this morning. And so this is what we're going to believe God for today. We're going to believe God to excel beyond the $35,000 that came in last year. And to be able to, it, like I said, it's by faith. What you're saying with this card, how many have a card? Hold it up. How many does not have a card? We've got some we want to pass out. Hold your hand up if you did not get a card. Okay, ushers? We have some hands up. Don't give them a cup. Give them a card, okay? Raise your hand if you did not get a card. This is called a faith promise card. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Charlotte's got her hand up. I have one. Okay. You sure? Don't you want to give separately? Or no, no. 54 years we've been giving together. Okay, so. Now, the reason I want you to have a card, because we're going to put it in our hands and we're going to pray. And I want you to obey the Lord. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And we want you to obey the Lord. And what you can do this year, besides your tithes and offerings, besides your anniversary gift, to bless missions, faith promise. You're saying, by faith, as God allows me, I want to participate. Now hold it up right now as I pray. Jerry, if they don't have pens, we got to have a pen too in their hands. Lord, I pray right now as we lift these cards up that you speak to our hearts. Lord, this morning we've been around the world. We've seen these different cultures. We've seen these different dress apparel. Lord, we have heard proof, even living proof from Chrissy of how that she has obeyed your voice and she has gone to be able to represent you in a foreign land, Lord. And we've got all these other places, Lord, Zambia and India and Africa and Europe and Romania and all of these places, Latin America, South America, Lord, all these continents that you have provided, Lord, that we would be able to participate in. And we have prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done. And Lord, I pray right now that you would speak to our hearts. And that with the nudge, the urging of the Holy Spirit, that we would participate weekly, monthly, throughout the year. And that we would see this ability to light the hope around the world. We ask you, God, to speak to our hearts as we obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need a pen, raise your hand. We want to get something there that you can write on. And just go ahead as we wait. Here's some needs for pens over here. Jerry, you got some pens? Here comes Jimmy. Paul. I have one, but I sure want it back. Here's one. His has got the wrong date on it, but you can change it. I think there may be some of those. Mine does not have a date on it. I thought Bill was going to testify. Come on. Come on, greet the congregation. Yeah.
We lost our whole house yesterday, but that's all it is. It's just a house, you know. It's just stuff in the world, and we've always had a fire plan where if you'll come, that's fine with me. And so we've always had a fire plan, in a meeting place. And so everybody was supposed to always meet out by the road, by the mailbox. And everybody, we always told everybody that if anybody ever went back for anything, we would probably go back in and die looking for them. And so everybody came out, and they met out by the road, exactly where they should. And so we immediately knew everybody was there and safe and not burned. And so, and also, I've had a lot of friends that have had houses burned before that had no insurance. And, you know, they've been wiped out all the way spiritually and financially, and their life is wiped out. But, you know, I pointed out that, you know, we've got insurance, and it's just stopped. And that the Bible always talked about it. You know, do not store up treasures on earth where it all burns. And I said, this is it. It's just earthly junk burning. I said, our treasure is the family. And, you know, and so I said, we're doing fine, mighty fine. And so we were able to talk about that as the house burned. And so it's, you know, it's just kind of, I mean, the Bible warns us about this. I mean, so, and so God has been very faithful, isn't it, right, Nicholas? And so, also, most of the time when a house burns, usually people die. And a lot of times the whole family dies. And that's the main thing, you know, is our blessing is the family, and that we, it wasn't our time in that fire. And so, anyway, so, I mean, I've been really, we talked, we were able to stand back, and Joe and all them, everybody came out from the church, the elders, and so, but we were able to discuss that as the house burned. And I said, it's going to be okay, you know. Amen. And so, I mean, everybody had been very generous with this. And actually, I met with Red Cross last night. They have emergency fund where they'll give you, you know, money to get you going immediately, and they got to meet you at the house. And so I was back out there about dark last night, and about as I was leaving, I noticed the house was rekindling. It was getting caught back on fire. And so I was able to call the fire department, and Charlotte and told me she thought she saw sparks. It was true. And so they came back out and put it out again when it was cold and miserable. I mean, so we could have all been out there, you know, miserable. You know, it was a good day yesterday for the house to burn. Yeah. And so I put all this on Facebook. If anybody wants to kind of, you know, I wanted to, you know, make sure it was just a very good day yesterday. We're all right, right? And Nicholas has a shop down the hill, and he said it's fine. He said his shop was completely intact, so everything good. And also, but Stephen, you know, a guy that lives with us, he kind of, he just, he kind of had a lapse of memory or thoughts. And so anyway, we had had some gasoline in the carport and where our generator is, lawnmower and stuff like that. And so he smelled gasoline. And anyway, I think the enemy kind of got him to do this. But he went at, while we were eating lunch, he went in the carport and struck a match to see if it was gasoline. And so, I mean, it flashed. He got flash burns on his legs and arm, and his second-degree burns. And so they took him to the hospital, but he got out. But he got, second-degree burns. And, I mean, I've been around a lot of burns and working in the oil field and stuff, and usually burns go negative and bad. But they treated him and released him. But, you know, it should be blisters and everything like that. But, yeah, I mean, we had about 25 gallons of gasoline stored for the generator. I mean, he should have burned to death whenever that thing flashed. And so it's God's miracle that he didn't burn to death right there in our carport. And so, anyway, he's in shock. You know, I mean, he burned and kind of in some pain. But I mean, I think the enemy is going to, you know, really attack him. And so, just pray for him. I mean, so,
thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. we were able to take some immediate funds out there to help them just right from the church here. That's just part of your faithful giving, and we're able to. Tim, would you come at this time, and we're going to give some directions. I know we need to get the cards together. How do you want to do that? Jody's going to add them up.
If you would, the ushers will come around one more time, and we're going to go ahead and collect your cards. Let's go ahead and pray first before we do that. If you haven't filled out your cards yet, let's just pray and ask God again just to give us direction in that. And then the ushers will come around and get your card, and we'll have the benediction and go into the noon meal. Father, we thank you for your goodness over us. We just thank you for all the things that you've already prepared, Lord, for us that we don't even know about entirely this year, but we know that you've got good things for our church, Lord, the outreaches that you have planned, Father, and the things that you have that we can participate as a church in building your kingdom, Lord, building those things that remain eternal, that will never be shaken, that will never be moved, Lord. And we just thank you that you've given us as mortal creatures, Lord, an opportunity to participate in your immortality, Lord. And I pray that you would just bless our giving, that we would give as unto you, that we would give in faith, Lord, and that we would give as whatever amount you've put on our heart, Lord, we would gladly give it, for you are worthy, the Lamb that was slain. We thank you, Lord, and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we'll go ahead and take up those cards at this time, if you would. The ushers come around and take up the cards. And I'll have one thing I'd like to share with you as they pick up the cards. This next year, one thing that we look forward to this next year, there's a church we were at in Cuba. We got down to this small church. A husband and his wife and their little daughter had started a church plant in this little village, a farming village. And they said they needed a roof and a floor and a roof they had begun the walls. The walls were about most of the way up. And they were waiting for the funds to come in to complete the rest of it. They needed $1,500. And so we began, it's just something I just felt like, Lord, do you want us to help with this? And I just felt good about it. And, of course, Patrick, he was in there in that little church without a roof, and he was in there just praying away. He was praising God. He was just anointing this temple to begin. So he was just, he just got caught up in the Spirit in there. He was praying over that little church. And anyhow, so I talked with Brother Joe, and we talked with Eduardo Gonzalez, and he said, yes, this pastor had just come to him, I think a week or two before, and said that they were unable to get the funds to complete the church, and if they could not complete the church, they would they would have to shut it down. There was nothing they could do. And so I really feel like as a church, that's one of the projections we have for this coming year, that we can complete for $1,500, we can complete this little church building. And I forget now the amount of people. I think there was around 60 or 80 people that met in there. All these churches were just busting at the seams. They were just waiting for, for more room and more construction. The churches in Cuba, they're just, God is really doing a work. But that's one of the things that we'd like to participate in with this money this year. And I just want to thank you again for your faithful giving. It's just a blessing to be a part of a congregation as y'all.
Amen. I would also like to add to Bill's testimony that we appreciate the firefighters that were there, that came out and were so smoke everywhere. We had Robert Grimes. We had Michael Grimes there, as well as Tim got the call but was at the juvenile center working. But we appreciate those, and we're just so glad that there can be people in the community that love the Lord, that are doing this as unto the Lord. So we just give blessing to them as well. We're going to dismiss you at this time, but we do ask all of you to stay. We have a wonderful meal prepared, and it's going to be kind of an international opportunity just to sit together, and they're going to decorate. So we need some help, but Brother Jerry is so good to provide coffee. So get you some coffee and fellowship a little bit. Going to rearrange some chairs back here, and may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and give you his peace. Amen. All right. Blessings. Thank you for coming.
If you would, we'd like to take up all the chairs on this in the back. This side over here, we're going to take up all the chairs. We're going to be setting up some tables here for you all to fellowship in the dinner afterwards. Thank you.
Sujudlah padanya, nas boleh.